Welcome to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. We pray that this message will strengthen and encourage you.
I believe God is sowing some good seed here at the Rock. God is doing something supernatural here. And I believe that those that are here that are stable with us, that if you will stay planted in the house of God, that God will flourish you and that your hearts will be filled, they will be expanded, He will anoint you to do greater works for Him. And so I know that we have been, I think Pastor Tracy was the one before me, right? I'm trying to remember because I was on vacation. So that was nice, by the way. I got to reconnect with my family, and we just got to make no decisions for like 2 weeks. It was great. Well, actually a week, because then we got to come back home. And how many of you know that when you have a staycation, that ain't no break, because you're actually taking care of your house then? Yeah, so I was trying to build that chicken coop, and we went and we got everything ready. You guys want to update on our lives? We went and got everything ready for the chicken coop. And my husband is just, I could tell, he's just not saying anything, but he's doing it. And I'm just like, whatever, it's what I want. And I don't ask for anything. I don't ask for rings. I don't ask for anything. I want a chicken coop. And he's like, are you going to take care of these chickens? And I'm like, I take care of everybody else, so I'll take care of the chickens. And so he's starting to do it, and we go to build the chicken coop. And I'm like, I'm down. I'm going to do it with you. We can put this together. I can read good instructions. And he's like, all right. So we go out there, and then the door on the chicken coop is broken. Like, it's been sitting there for way too long. So now it's too long been sitting there, and we can't return the chicken coop. And so now we got to call the company and get a new door. So I still do not have chickens. But one day, I'm going to get chickens. But I had to prepare the ground for those chickens, because I learned that all the predators like to dig in under the ground and come up into the chicken coops and eat your chickens. And I'm like, I got every predator you could think of. I just almost hit a coyote on the way here. We have foxes, we have owls, we have hawks, we have rattlesnakes. And I'm like, oh no, I'm gonna do everything I can to protect these chickens. And so as I was doing it, the Lord was speaking to me, because I didn't have to make any other decisions. I love that. And my biggest decision was, do I want to do this today or not? And so it was, I didn't even care if people ate. I was like, there's food. Go make it for yourself. So I'm tilling the ground, and the ground is hard. And the ground was really hard to break up. This was an old garden. We had an old garden in there. And nothing really grew except for mint. Have you ever had those gardens? And so mint everywhere. And so we had to dig out like all these gardens. And as I'm tilling up the ground, and it's hard. Like, we had the big old axe thingy. I don't even know what it's called. But we were banging in the ground and ripping it up. And man, that was backbreaking work. I literally understand why they call it backbreaking work. Because by the time it was over, I was like, I need a massage. This is all crazy. And then when we were going through it, the Lord was like, it's not easy to do the preparation for the things that you want, is it? And I was like, no, it's not. And he goes, that's what ministry is. Most of ministry, most of your Christian walk is going to be preparing the ground, preparing the soil, preparing so that the predators don't come in, and so that you're getting it ready for the fruit. You even want the chickens, or do you just want the eggs? He asked me. And I said, well, I actually just want the eggs. Now, I'll deal with the chickens, but I want the eggs. And he said, well, in order to get the eggs, you got to be willing for the long haul to take care of the chickens and to nurture those chickens. And right now, you're preparing the ground to protect those chickens. And he said, and you're about to build a chicken coop. And he told me this. So I'm going to tell you, girls, I'm going to let you in on what I told my staff. God is doing something new at the Rock. He's building something new here at the Rock. And he said, there's new things going to be built at the Rock. And that there's going to be a new territories that are going to be taken. And there's new places that I need you to go. But I know that it's going to be hard soil to break through. And it's going to be hard ground to till. And yet, I'm in it. And you will reap the fruit of your labor. He told me this while I was out there. I was just like crying, and Dan's like, what's going on? I'm like, this is hard work. And he's like, okay, yeah, I know. I'm not talking. And I'm like, I know. And I go, but God's talking to me about this. And as I began to think about the word, I was reading actually in Mark 4 for just for myself, because I was reading about the seed that is planted and all that it has to go through. in order to build something. And did you know that you're being built into a new creation in Christ Jesus? I don't care if you're newly saved or if you're old saved. All of us, every single day, have to die to ourselves. Every single day, we have to pay attention to what it is God is doing in and through us, because you are not your own any longer if you've said yes to Jesus. That means that you have to come unto the mission of what God is doing, and God is building something new in you. You go, well, I'm old, Pastor. I've lived my life. I've done a lot of things. What if I was to tell you, you're not done yet. You're not gone. What if God wants to do something new in you? Maybe you're young and you're going, I don't know what my future looks like. I don't know where I'm going. I don't know what God has for me. What if I was to tell you God is doing something new in you? There's something being built in you for the purpose of the kingdom of heaven to be advanced. You see, church, you are all full-time ministers of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so when you hear his word and when you come into his house and you do not forsake the assembling of brethren, when you obey the commands of God and when you do it, guess what happens? God begins to go, oh, that's good ground for me to sow into. And I can put my chicken coop on top of that, and I could trust them with the chickens. So therefore, they're going to get the eggs, and there's going to be a blessing that comes from what it is that I'm going to give them. You see, God has fruit for you. God has blessing for you. There's a good end to what you're striving through. But some of you are going through some hard things. Some of you feel like you've been in the fight so long. And I'm here to encourage you today, just keep tilling. Keep breaking up that fallow ground. Keep digging it out. Keep getting rid of what it is that God is asking you to do, because God wants to grow something in you. God wants to build something upon the foundation that he is putting inside of you. And God is going to use you to advance the kingdom of God in your families, in your homes, in your marriages, in our cities, in our nation. And girls, I believe it can start with just this little group of women here at the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. When we get a hold of what God has for us, there's nothing that can stop us. Absolutely nothing. So the title of today's message is The Growth of God's Word in Me. I need God's Word to grow in me. I need to not just sit idle, but I got things to do. How many of you got things to do for God? How many of you need things to do for God? We could put you to work. Because see, serving God's hard work, sometimes it looks like you're cleaning a toilet. Sometimes it looks like you're rocking a baby in the nursery. Sometimes it looks like you're sweeping out, you know, your house, and you're sweeping and you're cleaning, and there's the kids just running through and don't even care that they've left everything out, and they don't even appreciate anything that you do. I'm here to tell you, it's not about them. It's about you keeping your home, because it's a representation of the God in you. You got to put things together, because God does not live in chaos, but God lives in peace. God wants that ground to be tilled. I had to prepare that ground so that I could take care of God's animals, so then I can reap the eggs from the animals. The same goes for you. You've got to prepare your ground. What foundations were laid for you by your parents? What places... were delivered to you, and you just think of them as normal because that's all you know. But what if I'm here today to challenge you? What if I'm here today to say, get rid of the old foundations and build a new foundation in Christ Jesus? That means you got to tear up the old places. You got to unlearn some things to begin to learn some things in the Word of God. Because as you begin to learn the Word of God, you begin to wear the Word of God. The Word of God wears you, and you walk around strong. You walk around with growth. You walk around producing. You're a producer. You're somebody that people are attracted to. You're somebody who makes things happen. You can be in this foundation of laziness. I love our San Bernardino community, but I do believe there's a spirit of poverty on this community. It's a mindset that says, oh, this is just the way it is. I gotta be this way. No, you don't. You are more than conquerors in Christ Jesus. You have the mind of Christ. If you're a tither, you have the blessings of God on your finances. I'm just saying, like, where do we get the excuse to be lazy? in the Word of God. We're trying to rip up some old foundations here. Do you still love me? Because I love you enough to tell you the truth. That God wants to do something new in you, and you can't stay the way you've been. You can't expect a tree to grow out of your fruit, out of your life, out of your ground, if you are doing nothing for that tree. And God is saying, there's so many things that I want to do. And heaven has a massive load of mysteries that it wants to deposit into our lives. It has so many secrets and so many avenues and so many paths. They're not paths like the world. They're not systems of this world. Have we learned that the systems of this world are completely broken? All of them. And yet the system of heaven is operating. It is well. It is strong. It's reliable. You can bank on it. You can go there. And so then, as Christians, I do not live in the systems of this world. I live in them, but I am not of them because I am of the system of God. That means I got to get the growth of God in me and through me, and I've got to begin to change my thinking. I got to change my foundation. I've got to change what I'm nurturing in my life. I've got to change what I'm paying attention to in my life. Some of you got to turn that news off. Some of you got to turn off the bad food. You put poison in your body, and then you're asking God to heal you. God's going, hello? Why are you putting poison in your body, and then you're asking me to heal you? You got to work with me on this. I know these are not fun topics, but if we want to see growth in life, we have to do some things, and I have to change the soil that I'm using, and I have to put nutrients into it. And what are you putting into your life and able to grow? In order to grow. Because heaven has all the mysteries for you. Mark 4:11, it says, you are permitted to understand the secret of the kingdom of God. I love this because he says, you are permitted. That means if you were not permitted, you no access for you. But as believers, you are permitted to know the secrets that translate into the mysteries of God. Of the kingdom of God, but I use parables for everything I say to outsiders. So when Jesus was in a crowd speaking to people, he would use parables and stories to get them to understand the concepts of the kingdom of God. And we, church, are believers. We are children. We have the Holy Spirit living on the inside of us so that when I read the Word of God, it can come alive inside of me. And I can ask God, what does that mean? What do you mean by that? What are you saying about this? And God begins to deposit drops of his Word into my heart. And it begins to be seeds of sowing, seeds of blessing, seeds of understanding, seeds of revelation, seeds of breakthrough, seeds of whatever it is that God wants to give you from the kingdom of heaven. But I don't want to pastor a whole bunch of people that hear the word and do nothing with it. But I'm going to challenge you to seek the secret things of God as he's talking about in these words. See, unbelievers do not know this. They have no understanding of God. They have no understanding of the kingdom. They have no understanding of God's goodness. They have no understanding of grace and mercy and love. No, they hate, they divide, they torture, and they tear apart. But God does not. God goes the distance. He goes after the one. How about this? God's thoughts are not your thoughts. We understand that, but they don't understand. They want God to think like them. They twist their belief systems so that they can be accepted by God. But all they're doing is lying to themselves. Because we don't tell God how things are. God tells us how they are. How about God's plans? I need God's plans working in my life. I don't need the plans of man. I don't need the plans of the systems. I don't need the plans of the foolish things of this world. But I need the plans of God in my life. How about dispensations of God that remain hidden to the unsaved? That means I get to have the deposits of heaven revealed to me when I'm in my word or when I'm in worship or when I'm in a conversation with another believer. And they're like, but what about this? And did you hear what God is doing here? And what about, did you ever think about coming at it from this angle? And you see, we begin to build each other up in the most holy faith. That's why we're together. But God reveals to us as believers and children through his word what his mysteries are, what his secrets are. You know, we can read a lot of books. I'm not really a book reader. It has to be really good for me to get it. Pretty much Francine Rivers. I have a lot of other books that I have to read as a pastor, but there are books that I enjoy reading for fun where I can get lost in a story, and then I ignore my whole family for like months. And Dan's like, when is that book over? Like, when are you making dinner again? But I'll tell you, this book, it's like every time I read it, I don't know about you guys, I didn't remember reading that ever before. I've read through this Bible so many times. I've lost count. But honestly, every time I read it, it's new. Every time I read it, it refreshes my soul. Every time I read it, no other book has done that. I've reread books and I'm bored. I'm like, I already know what's going to happen. I know what's going to be next. But I do know what's going to happen in the stories. I do know what's going to be next. But for some reason, I'm like waiting for David to take out that slingshot. I'm waiting for him to hit Goliath between the head. And I'm like, get him, buddy, get him. But I don't do that in every book. Why? Because there's power in the book. Because it's anointed by heaven. Because this is unlocking the mysteries of God. Why? Because this is God's word that edifies us and fills us and strengthens us. Because it is inspired and revealed to us by God. You see, God begins to express the importance of these mysteries through his word. He puts an emphasis on us really understanding the word of God. And girls, listen to this, speaking the word of God. When you begin to speak the word of God, the atmosphere shifts. Things begin to change. You might think I'm funny, but I love orchids. And so I've been growing orchids. I've been collecting them. And then when my dad died, he loved orchids. So I took all his orchids because my mom was totally going to kill the orchids. And so I was like, I'm rescuing them from you. And I have been babying these orchids. I have probably had these orchids grow back every single year. And when I baby them, I pray over them. I'm like, you will grow. You're going to produce. You're not going to die. You're going to produce after your own kind. I want to stare at your beautiful flowers. I talk to them. I tell them how pretty they are. And guess what happens? They thrive. Have you ever not talked to a plant? Not taken care of a plant? Not watered it? Not even given it the sun that it needs? Guess what happens? It wilts. The word of God is like us when we take care of our plants. We come alive when we begin to put it into our life. We come alive and it begins to grow in us and we can produce more of what it is God has for us. If you feel like you've seen so much of what God has done, I'm here to tell you, you've seen not even a glimpse of what God wants to do through you. God wants to begin to do some new things in you. Mark 4:13 says, and then Jesus said unto them, if you can't understand the meaning of these parables, he's about to go into all the parables. How will you understand all the parables? If you can't understand them, how will you? If you don't know me, you won't understand what I'm saying. In church, let's read the parables. Let's just go there. Melissa, can you give me a tissue? I'm turning into my mother. I'm going to walk around with tissue. I made fun of her for years, and now it's happening to me. So girls, don't make fun of your moms. Okay. Mark 4:3-9. Listen. Behold, a sower went out to sow. And it happened as he sowed that some fell on the wayside, and the birds of the air came and devoured it. Some fell on stony ground where he did not have much earth, and immediately it sprang up because it had no depth of the earth. Verse 6. But when the sun was up, it was scorched, and because it had no root, it withered away. And some seed fell among thorns, and the thorns grew, and they choked up all of it, and it yielded no crop. But other seed fell on good ground, and it yielded a crop, and it sprang up. It increased, and it produced 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. And he said unto them, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. I do not want to be a people that misses this. But yet, here's our good Father. He gives the explanation of it for us. Mark 4:14-20, go with me there. And he's going to parallel these verses, and he's going to teach. And he says that the sower sows the word. So the person who is scattering all the seed that it's scattering is the word of God. Okay? And these are the ones by the wayside where the word is sown. When they hear, Satan comes immediately to take away the word that was sown into their hearts. Have you ever brought someone to church? And you're like, yay, they got saved. And then they never want to come back again because their life is just, they like their life a little bit more than what it's going to require for them to actually work hard at keeping a relationship with Christ. It's a wayside. Okay, they're wayside. You got to pray for them. But God begins to turn their heart. All right, verse 16. These likewise are the ones sown on stony ground. The ground who, that when they hear the word, okay, immediately they receive it with gladness. And they have no root in themselves, so they endure only for a time. And after, when tribulation and persecution arises for the word's sake, immediately they stumble. Let's talk about this for a second. Persecution is going to come. As Christians, it's going to come. You see it happening in America everywhere. For instance, can I talk about something that's happening in New York? There is a mayor. He is a Muslim. They've just nominated him to be their new Democrat representation or whatever. This man is blatantly saying that he will come after the Jews. He is blatantly saying that he will come after churches. He's blatantly saying pretty much that he hates us. And girls, we shouldn't be shocked. The Bible says these things are going to happen. That's why it's important for you to pay attention and not just go with a party that you think you know. Because things change all the time. And Satan gets into every side. And so, the bigger picture is the kingdom here. Do you see that's a hate for those that God loves? So as we begin to understand persecution will come, what it's talking about is these people received the word, but when the hard times hit, they ran. They weren't strong enough. Their roots weren't deep enough to take a hit. They weren't strong enough to endure a storm. I had 3 pine trees on the side of my house, massive pine trees. I hated them. Pastor Dan loved them. I had to clean the pine needles up every day. I hated it. It took me days and days and days to clean these stupid pine trees up. Do you remember when we had a hurricane like a year ago? I know it was crazy. We were like, a hurricane. Well, I was laying in bed and I heard a crash and I was like, that's weird. But I thought nothing of it. I got up, took my son to school because my garage is on the other side of the house. Didn't notice it. My son Micah gets up and he's like, hey guys, there's like, I went to let the dogs out and this is what happened. He sends me a picture. These massive trees. Guys, no joke. This far away from my neighbor's house, it fell. This far away from her house. I was like so grateful. Like, oh, thank you, God. I don't have to fix her house. And we had to cut up all of those trees because when the arborist came out, guess what happened? They said, those roots are not deep. Those roots are, these are all going to fall with another storm. If there's another storm that comes, they're going down. And we had to cut them all because their roots weren't deep enough to keep them. They might have been big and strong. And on the outside, you look good. You put on your front. All praise Jesus. Amen. And then when you fall, everybody's like, oh, what happened? I cannot believe that they fell. Well, guess what? The roots weren't deep enough. The roots weren't deep enough, so when the storm hit, they were taken out. Let's go to verse 18. And now these are the ones who sow among thorns. They are the ones who hear the word and the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, and the desires of other things entering in choke out the word and it becomes unfruitful. How many times has the love of the world become stronger than your love for God? Let me put this on a harder level than I'm going to challenge you in. How many times has your love for your children, your family members, taken the place of your love for God? God says, leave everything and follow me. Oh, but God, I got to bury my mother-in-law. He said, let the dead bury the dead. take up your cross. Leave your mother, your father, your brother, your sister for my sake. Listen, girls, I love my kids. But I'm telling you right now, I hold a standard of righteousness in my home. And they know that. If they choose to go out of that, they're going to live between them and God on their own. Because I stand for righteousness. Does not mean I don't love them. Just means that I'm holding a line for the throne room of God, for the goodness of God. Because then they will be able to come back to their borders in which I created. But if there's no borders, they can't come back or go away. You have to establish a boundary of God in your children's life so that when the word hits, it won't be taken from them. It won't be choked out of them. They'll be uncomfortable in this world. They'll be uncomfortable looking at things they shouldn't be looking at. How about you? What movies are you watching? What gossip shows are you watching? Oh, but I just love to watch The Housewives. They're so crazy and stupid. Yeah, but what are they talking about? Is that edifying your heart? Is that just brain dead TV? That go read your word. Go find a Christian novel. Go out with a friend and have coffee. Talk about the word. Change your patterns in life. Change what you feed your heart on, because those things will begin to choke the word right out of you. And what happens is you find yourself struggling. You find yourself broken. You find yourself frustrated. And then we instantly blame God. All of us do. So I'm not pointing fingers. All of us do. And God's like, okay, I can take it. Go ahead. Punch at me. But you need to look at you, because you allowed things to choke my word out of you. And now you're reaping what you sowed. What are you sowing? What are you sowing? All right, let's go to the last part. But these are the ones that sow on good ground. Those who hear the word, accept it, and bear fruit. I want to be a fruit bearer. I want to be a fruit bearer. I'm going for that. Some 30, some 60, some 100. I don't think it matters the amount. I think that's what it's saying here, is that some of you are going to have some of you are going to have more, some of you are going to have. Do not look at that. It's not about what you have and how much you have. Are you producing anything that is godly? Is the word coming out of you? Because when you begin to compare yourself with someone else, guess what happens? One of you gets smaller, and it's usually you. And God is not comparing you to others. God is saying, what you put in is what you're going to get out. And sometimes we say, oh, well, you know, look at how blessed they are. Well, you haven't walked in their shoes. You don't know the price that they paid. You don't know the hard work they did. You don't know what they had to do what it is that they have been walking out in their life. So before we quickly judge others, let's just leave that to God. And how about we love each other and believe the best and not allow the word to choke that out of us, but we become fruit bearers. And if I see fruit coming from your life, I'm going to encourage you in that and cheer you on and say, well done. Keep going. You got this. See, the word is the seed of heaven, and it is the truth of God. So the heart is the soil in which the seed lies. I don't know about you, but I want, when the seed to lie, I want it to lie on good soil that God can trust me with. Jesus says that he is the word, and he was the word in the beginning, and then he came in human flesh. John 1 through 5 says, in the beginning was the word, already existed, and the word was with God, and the word was God. He existed in the beginning with God. God created everything through him. And nothing was created except through him. Now let's talk about how it was created. What did God do in the beginning? He spoke. Jesus was that spoken word in the beginning. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit were all represented in the beginning of creation. God was speaking. The word that was spoken was Jesus. And it says that the Holy Spirit hovered over the deep. You see, He is always present. He's always available. His word was always being spoken. It was always producing. It was always alive. But I love this. I'm going to go to John 1:14. I'm not even going to finish that. John 1:14. And it says, so the word became human. Other versions say the word became flesh and made him his home among us. Talking about Jesus. This was prophesied in Isaiah 7 and Isaiah 9. It talks about it in Isaiah 53. I do not understand how people miss this. But it talks about Jesus coming, God himself put on flesh. The word became flesh. Wow. And we have seen his glory. The glory of the Father's one and only Son. So the word in this verse is logos. It is the spoken word. It is the spoken word. So since the word is alive and God himself became flesh, then we need to understand that the word of God is speaking to you. It's revealing to you. It's leading you. His word has the power to save you, change you, deliver you, restore you, bring you back to restoration. This all starts with getting the word into yourself. And guess what happens? Then it comes through you, and you get to give it to others. We have to understand that the seed of God's word will bring us growth into our lives, but then not just our lives, but the other lives of the people around us. That's why it's so important. Our understanding of this word, the seed, is crucial for our lives. It's critical. The word has to be your number one. Because when I read it, I got to carry it out. I have a responsibility. I have a responsibility. It makes me think about that game, Jumanji. Do you remember the first movie? I just love those movies. But when they were like, well, if you open up this game, just get ready. Because then you're responsible for whatever happens. And there were like animals going through their house. There was lions going through their house. They had to face things they weren't ready for. But I'm here to tell you, get ready. Because when you open this thing, you're going to be responsible for what you read. And the power of God is going to hit you. Or it's going to correct you. Or it's going to show you. Or it's going to lead you. Or it's going to spank you. It does a whole lot of things. And you never know what's coming. But I'll tell you, it's alive. And it's beautiful, and it's refreshing, and it's food to the soul. So carry out the word of God, girls. Carry it out. Be that farmer that plants that seed into good ground. Mark 4:14 says, the farmer plants the seeds by taking the word of God to others. You are a carrier. You are a full-time minister. You are an ambassador of the word of God. Ephesians 3, 7 through 9 says, by God's grace and mighty power, I have been given the privilege of serving him by spreading the good news. Did you know you're privileged? I know this is a term that could not be popular, and I'm probably not popular, especially as a white woman standing in this pulpit, but I'm over all of that. I'm here to tell you I'm not of that. I'm of the kingdom of God, and we are equal. And you are privileged because you are daughter of the Most High God. You have access to the mysteries of God. You have access to the secrets of God. You have access to everything God wants to deposit into your lives, into your children's lives, into your grandchildren's lives. And we begin to do this by changing our old foundations and setting our new foundations on the Word of God and beginning to learn what it is He has for us. We are privileged people to spread the good news. And though I am at least deserving of all of God's people, and that is so me, I'm a hot mess, but I am totally put together when I'm with Jesus. Right? Can I get an amen? I mean, are you messed up? We're all messed up together. He graciously gave me the privilege of telling the Gentiles. Those are those that are not of Jewish descent. A Gentile is somebody who's not Jewish. So if you're not Jewish in this room, you're a Gentile. I love how there's only two. And about the endless treasures available to them in Christ. I love this. Endless treasures available. Do you know that you're not poor? You're actually rich in Christ. Did you know that no matter what people have said about you, that you are an endless treasure of who God called you to be? That you are more than able, that you are going to go above and beyond, that no matter what it is that you're facing, you have access to every treasure in heaven, every secret of heaven, every mystery of heaven. So when you don't know what to do, all you got to do is tap into the Lord, tap into your prayer time, tap into your word, because you're going to get filled up and you're going to get restored. You're going to get refreshed because you're privileged. We're privileged. I am chosen. Say, I am chosen. To explain to everyone the mysteries of the plan of God, the creator of all things, and kept the secret from the beginning. I love this verse as well. James 1:18, this will be one that you memorize. He chose to give birth to us by giving us his true word. And we, out of all of creation, became his prized possession. Do you feel good about yourself today? I'm a prized possession. That means that no matter what man says about me, I know that I'm God's prized possession. No matter how the world looks at me or sees me or judges me, it doesn't matter because I'm God's prized possession. And you can do whatever you want to do to me, but my roots are going to be anchored so deep that I'm not going to be ripped out, taken down, but I'm going to stand strong even in the face of adversity because I stand on the word of God and I am chosen, I am privileged, and I am God's prized possession. And listen, church, the girl next to you is God's prized possession. And the girl behind you is God's prized possession. So when we bite and devour each other, we are coming against God's people. We are to love each other. We are to speak goodness about each other. We are to speak life back into each other. This is what God is asking of us. Two things. Are we okay on time? Okay. Are you guys okay? Two things. I want you to leave with something. I want you to put something to practice in your life. How do I every day allow this seed of God's word to bring life into my world? Every day, how do I do this? Number one, you have to hear the word of God every day. See, but Pastor, you guys only have 8 services a week. More than other churches, let me tell you. But you know, there's so many different ways to get the word of God. I pray you open your Bible for yourself every single day. And you ask the Holy Spirit before you open it up. You might be groggy. You might be sipping on that coffee, hoping that it opens one eyeball. You might be reading and not comprehending, but you're at least reading the word. It's the first thing you do, and you get up and you begin to read your word. I'm going through this Bible reading plan, and every morning I was like really wanting something that would edify me. And I was in like this portion of the Old Testament where it was like, and the boils were being broken open. And I'm like, this was a horrible reading today. I was almost like mad at the Bible for like a very good long time. And so I had to go get my other Bible and go read like the New Testament because I'm like, ugh. But you know what? It showed me what they had to go through. It showed me the suffering that they endured. It showed me the pain and the mercy that God had on his people because it caused him so much heartache. As we do. You see, open your word, it will begin to teach you. Every day it'll be a mirror to you, like a reflection to what it is you need to be looking more like or what you need to change to look like. I have to be intentional in making room for this every day. That means that when we read our word, it does something. It calibrates our hearts to do what God wants for us and what he has for us for that day. Without being in your word every day, have you ever noticed it's kind of like your shot of goodness? When I've decided to skip my Bible reading and because I'm busy or whatever and I'm not doing my at least a little prayer or something, I'm snappy. And I'm annoyed easily and people bug me, especially during perimenopause. I'm like, you better watch out. Somebody's getting cut. And the reality is I have to have this. Because it injects me with what I need to be and who I am. Otherwise, I walk without this and I'm in my flesh. And my flesh is mean. And my flesh is mad. And my flesh judges everything and thinks it knows it all. But then I get this and I'm like, oh, I know nothing. I'm a mere servant. I'm humble under the presence of the Almighty. Lord, forgive me for what I thought about that person or what I said to them the other day. Help me to see myself the way you see me. Teach me, God. You see, you got to get into your word every day. That's why it's so important. Hebrews 5:12 talks about what the word does for us. Okay? And so Hebrews 5:12 through 14. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again and the first principles of the oracles of God. And you have come to need milk and not solid food. So he's saying you should be grown up, but actually you just need some milk right now. You're in a position where you need some milk. You don't need some meat. And then he says, for everyone who is partakers only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness. A new believer, right? They don't know much about the word. So they might be coming to church on Sunday, and then on Monday, they're cussing their kids out still. And you're like, we could judge them. What y'all judging about? They're new. They don't know. They're just getting into it. They don't even know that they don't have to do that anymore. They only grew up with that. That's all they knew. Right? So here, the word is teaching them, oh, wait, you can guard your mouth. You can begin to teach, and you can have patience instead of anger, right? The word begins to teach them. So they're in a position of getting milk. And God is so gracious that he does feed us milk when we need it, right? Okay, and then it says that the oracles of God, that you have come to need milk and not solid food. For everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness. For he is only a babe, but solid food belongs to those who are full of age. That is, those who are by reason of use have their senses exercised and discern both good and evil. That means a more mature Christian, one who has walked with God for a long time. You may still snap at times, girls, because there is an old nature in us that likes to rise up. But there's something that we snap back and we say, hold on, no, I know better. I'm not doing that. I'm not going there. And instantly we turn and we get right and we feed onto the word of God. You see, the word gives us milk. Milk comforts. When you have a new baby, what does it do? Baby cries. I always think about all my children. They all nursed. But the middle child, dude, he would headbutt me. Headbutt me if I didn't feed him fast enough. Bam, bam, bam. I'm like, dude, seriously? He's like baby Huey. And so, but as soon as he would drink his milk, right, he's comforted. There was never, if I fed the boy, he's good. He didn't cry. He didn't complain. Nothing. Because it brings comfort. It brings a satisfaction. Have you ever just been so disquieted in your spirit? When my dad died, I had a really hard time going deep. I had people coming up to me, preaching at me. Listen, church, I love y'all, but stop. When people lose someone, just shut up and say, I'm praying for you. Don't give them your story, because they don't care. They're not there. It's a very shallow, traumatizing moment in life. And I thought something was wrong with me, because I wasn't hearing God like I used to. And I wasn't going deep. I just couldn't go deep. I could not go deep. Why? Because I had gone through trauma. And so when you go through trauma, you need milk. And God's like, it's okay, let me just give you some milk. And I would sit in Psalms 23, and it was my milk. And it was the strength that I needed for that day. And it was what I needed to get through the next step of the day that I had to face and the things I had to do. You see, you may be in some traumatic situations right now. You may be sitting in this room going, I cannot go deep, Pastor. Then guess what? God will meet you there with the milk of his word. And the milk of his word will bring you comfort. It will bring you peace. I love that about him. It will encourage your heart when it's broken. Now there's meat. There's another level that God brings us with his word. And that's meat. You can't eat meat with no teeth. Have you ever tried watching your dog? I have a dog, and his teeth are bad in the back. He's old. He's like 14. We were figuring out last night that he's like 96 years old. And I'm like, dude, you're hanging in there. Keep going, buddy. But like, if we give him a hard bone or meat, a hard piece of meat, he has to let the other dog eat it because he can't chew it. But God is saying, my word is hard. It's going to take some breaking down. You're going to have to work hard to get the nutrients from it. But it will fill you and satisfy you more than milk will and longer than milk will, and it will anchor you. You see, the word brings us the meat of the word. It will provoke you. The meat of God's word provokes us. Have you ever read the word and you're like, ugh? I have done that so many times. I was reading about Jonah and God was talking to me about, I was just like Jonah. And I was like, what? I don't like Jonah. And he goes, well, you don't like yourself. Because that's what you've been doing. And I'm like, oh, God. It provokes you to change. It provokes you to look at yourself and go, I gotta change. It provokes you to think bigger. It provokes you to see bigger. It provokes you to do something outside your comfort zone. It brings you encouragement. It matures you as a believer. And the last thing the word does when you get into it every day, it gives you the terms of your relationship with God, and that is the promises of God. You have all the promises of God operating for you in your life when you tap into the word of God. James 1:21 says, therefore, putting aside all filthiness and all that remains of wickedness, in humility, that means in submission to the covering of what God is doing, receive the word implanted. There it is again, the seed implanted into your hearts, which is able to save your souls. But prove yourself doers of the word, not merely just hearers who dilute themselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and a doer, he is like a man who looks after his natural face in a mirror. Take care of yourselves, girls. Get into your word every day. It will save your soul. Martin Luther says, we need to hear the gospel every day because we need it every day. Every day. Number two. How do I every day allow the seed of God's word to bring growth into my life? Number two, I have to check the condition of my own heart every day with his word. That means I can't have Pastor Dan or my kids being like, crazy. When I'm in a bad mood, my house scatters. Is anybody else like that? And all of a sudden, I'm like in the living room by myself, and I'm like, apparently I was not nice. Or I'm annoyed, or something's going on because everybody's in their rooms, even Dan. And I realize I got to change. I got to get into my word. And you know what I think about? Did I read my Bible today? And I didn't. I was robbed of my time to read my Bible. And then I'm mad at everybody. Well, you know, they took my time and they asked me to do this. And it was like, no, I didn't make it a priority. So I then did not guard my own heart. I did not put an emphasis on that so that I could change. You are responsible for your own heart, not somebody else. You are responsible for it. I cannot judge your heart. Did you know that? God says there's some things we can judge, but I am not to judge the heart. You are not to judge the heart of another man or the intentions. That's God's job. Now, God does judge the heart because God knows the heart. Woo! So if God knows my heart, I better put my heart up against the word of God every day because I got to keep myself righteous. I got to keep myself in a position that God can continue to speak to my heart, that my heart will be a heart after his own heart like David was. I love Dan talking about Josiah last night. He said, there has never been a king like this. But did you know Josiah was before David? This is all the lineage of Jesus. I want to have a heart after God's own heart. But I have to work at that. And the best way to do it is by getting into my word and allowing the word of God to begin to plant some new things in me, new thoughts, new ways. How about this one? Forgiveness. I don't like that one. One time, I was sitting at a spiritual guidance appointment, and this lady, she comes in, and she's a wonderful woman of God, and I love her very much. She begins to tell me all about her husband, everything that's wrong with him. And I'm just listening. I'm just smiling at her. She's telling me everything he does and everything he does wrong and why this and why that and da-da-da. And I just said, okay. So have you read the word about any of that? She goes, so Pastor, I think I want to divorce him. So can you, is these terms for divorce? And I'm like, first off, I will never tell you to divorce your husband. Number two, absolutely not. But I heard the Lord just drop in my spirit, man, read 1 Corinthians 13 to her. So I pull my Bible out. I begin to read 1 Corinthians 13 out loud. You should have seen her. She softened. She kind of went, oh. And at the end I said, have you been this person to him? Love is patient. Love is kind. Love does not keep a record of wrong. And she went, I haven't been doing that at all. I'm like, I know, I got his list of wrongs today. And she said, I'm wrong. And I said, you need to go and repent to God first, and then to him. And then let's see where the marriage goes. Do you know that they're still together all these years later? They're in love. They're doing well. But it was the word that we went up against the word to how she felt and what she thought she was justified in. And when she did things God's way, she got the God marriage she always wanted. Because it's God's word that changes him, not you. And God's word will change you first. So get ready, girls. You see, God does something when we begin to put the word into practice. When we begin to check our hearts against the word, it does something to us. See, the word has value. It reflects the voice of God in your life. You don't want the voice of man. You don't want the voice of your friends. You don't want the voice of what this world says or what Instagram says or TikTok. You don't want the voice of everything a ChatGPT. I'm here to tell you, go find it for yourself in the Bible. Quit asking ChatGPT. Because you're going to replace the Holy Spirit with ChatGPT, and I'm scared for you. The bottom line is you need to know for yourself what this says and where to find it. Because when all else fails, there is power in this. And it will guard your heart. It will keep your heart from all evil. And if you think that you are one that will never fall into evil, I'm here to tell you, none of us are. We have to keep guard of our heart with all the diligence of God. The word keeps our heart on track. It keeps us healthy. It is good soil that produces growth and fruit. That means that our hearts have to stay in a healthy place. In order to do that, we have to get the word. We have to compare things to the word of God. When a seed is planted, the process looks like this. You ready? The seed coat around it goes into the seed goes into the ground. The coat around the seed dies off. The whole seed doesn't die. The coat around the seed dies off. And it breaks apart. And the internal structure of that seed changes during the germination. The embryo inside of the seed remains alive. The seed's stored food reserves, endosperm, are used to nourish the developing of the seedling until it can produce its own food through photosynthesis, the sun. And when the word of God gets into us, we change and our old man is broken off of us and our new man begins to produce life out of us. Just like the seed. You see, let's allow the word of God to produce something beautiful in us. Something good, not dormant, but alive and well. Matthew 13, 24 in the message says, he told another story. God's kingdom is like a farmer who has planted good seed in his field. That night, while he hired men and he was asleep, the enemy sowed thistles all through the wheat and slipped away before dawn. When the first green shoots appeared and the grain had begun to form, the thistles showed up too, and the farmhands came to the farmer and he said, Master, that was clean seed that we planted, wasn't it? Where did these thistles come from? He answered, some enemy did this. The farmhands asked, should we weed out the thistles? He said, no. If you weed the thistles, you will pull out the wheat too. Let them all grow up together until the harvest time, and then I will instruct the harvester to pull the thistles, tie them in a bundle for the fire, and then I will gather the wheat and I will put them into the barn. Another story God says in his kingdom is like a pine tree nut. Have you ever seen a pine tree nut, a pine nut? That the farmer plants. It is quite small as a seed goes, but in the course of years, it will grow into a huge pine tree that eagles will nest in. You see, What is God growing in you? And what are you allowing to surround you? You got to guard your heart from the thistles. You got to guard your heart from those things. They're going to be around you. You can't just get away from them, guys. But you can not be affected by them. That wheat still grew and became wheat. It didn't become a thistle. And then God separates that. Let God be the one to separate those things. But you continue to be true to who you are. Stay in your word. Stay and guard your hearts. And you continue to grow. Even though there's thistles all around you, you be a representation and a reflection of God's word so that those around you will not overcome you, but you will be separated from evil and God will keep you. How about you be that pine tree that maybe you were just this broken person, but yet the seed of God's word got into you and you grew stronger and stronger and stronger. And now you're carrying others and teaching them the word and you're leading groups and you're praying for people and you're seeing miracles happen. You are the walking evangelist in the grocery store or on your kids' campus. Who knows what God has for you? But I'm here to tell you that you are that massive tree that is strong and steady and your roots are deep and God has you. But you have to be responsible to guard your heart. Every day, because every day Satan's looking for a way in. Every day he's knocking to seek whom he may devour. Every day. You say, but I'm tired. It's exhausting, Pastor. I'm so sorry to tell you. Yes, it is. And I'm so sorry to tell you, don't let your guard down. Because Satan is seeking whom he may devour. But you will not be overtaken. So, today, how do I every day allow the seed of God's word to be the growth in my life? I have to hear the word every day. I have to check the condition of my heart every day with the word of God. Did you get something from the Lord? Awesome. So, so good. I just love the word. Isn't it so amazing how good and powerful it is? Let's just take a moment. I want you to just have a moment of reflection. And I just want you to ask the Lord, I want you to ask yourself two questions, okay? So don't worry about the girl next to you, but I want you to ask God, Lord, how do I need to guard my heart for the future? Watch, he's going to give you some direction in that. And Lord, how can I change the pattern of how I receive your word every day? Is there more I need to do? Ask yourself these questions. I'll just give you some time. The second question, I'm trying to remember. It was, hold on, let me look at my notes. How can you apply the word of God more in your everyday? And how can you guard your heart? So while you guys are doing that, write it down. Because you don't want it taken from you. So good. Well, Lord, we thank you for your word that was given to us today. And every day, God, we thank you that you've left us this incredible manual, word from you, power in life. And Lord, we pray, God, you would begin to nourish us, that you would teach us from your word every day. Lord, guard our hearts from the evil and the wicked, but Lord, help us to be strong and steady. Lord, I pray over these girls, Lord, no weapon formed against them will prosper. Pray sound minds and peace in their lives and over their children and their families. Thank you, God, that your goodness reigns and the mercy of God dwells amongst them and their homes and their families. The forgiveness, God, those that have held on to some unforgiveness right now, Lord, that you would heal them of that. Reveal that to them. Just ask God, is there someone you need to forgive? Just let it go. I can't do it, Pastor. Just do it. Just let it go. I give them to you, God. I forgive them. I release them to you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for your mighty hand. Thank you for your goodness. In Jesus' name, amen. For some of you that are in this room, you don't know who God is. You have an understanding of who he is. You like his word. You've sat under the word today, and you did really good. You were a wonderful listener. Wonderful. But I want to introduce you to God and give you an opportunity to know him personally. If you were to walk out of this room and have a heart attack or get in a car accident, I want you to ask yourself this question. Would you end up in heaven or would you end up in hell? You say, well, I don't know. I think I would end up in heaven. I believe so. I'm in church. But did you know that you don't get to heaven by going to church? You don't get to heaven by reading your Bible. You don't get to heaven just because you volunteer to sing in the worship choir or volunteer to set up the seats at church or whatever it is that you do. You get to heaven by one way, by believing that Jesus died and rose again on that cross and that he is the Lord and that he is God. Jesus says, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life, but no man comes to the Father. That means when you die, you come and you stand before God. He says, no man comes to the Father except through me. That means you've got to believe on Jesus as God himself, as a Lord and Savior, and that he died on that cross for your sins. You say, but Pastor, I'm a mess. There's no way. You don't know the things I've done. You don't know what's happened to me, and I'm here to tell you, I don't, but he does. And he went to that cross, and he put himself on that cross. Nobody else put him on that cross. He said, nobody takes my life from me. I lay it down. And he laid his life down for you so that he could become a spotless lamb, a sacrificial lamb. And when his blood was shed for you and his body was broken open for you, it was the remission, it was the forgiveness, it was the washing away of your sins and my sins. And he gave it in that moment so that in this moment, you can bring who you are, your mess and everything. You don't have to fix yourself before you come to God. You just come to God as you are. And God says, okay, now do you believe upon me? And you say, yes. And we invite Jesus to come into your heart and be the Lord and Savior of your life. And after that, guess what happens? The beautiful presence of God, like we talked about, comes and fills you. The Holy Spirit comes to fill you, and life begins new, and your sins are washed away, and you become a new creation in Christ Jesus. Remember, we talked about that seed being broken open, that outside layer of who you were is broken open, and the life of God comes, and he reveals himself through you, and you get to have the power of the Word of God working in your life. So today, I want to give you that opportunity. If you've never met Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior, this is how we're going to do it. I'm going to go 1, 2, 3, and I'm going to bang my hand on the pulpit. When I do, I want you to raise your hand. You say, okay, why do I need to raise my hand? Because in the Bible, it says that if you confess me before man, this is Jesus talking. If you confess me before man, I will confess you before my Father. But if you deny me before man, I will deny you before my Father. So you have to do something for God. You have to say, yes, I need Jesus. You will not be embarrassed. But I'm asking you to be bold. Some churches do it where they close their eyes and bow their heads. That's fine. Nothing wrong with that. But here at The Rock, you're about to walk out those doors, and it's a raunchy world, and it is a messed up world, and it's a world that comes after you. You better be able to stand for Christ in here before you have to stand for Christ out there. So let's start right. Let's start bold. And I'm going to challenge you to do this in a safe environment where the girls are praying for you. Guess what? We were all ex-sinners. We were all rank sinners. We were all messed up. But we met Jesus, and he came after us, and he loved us, just like he's coming after you, and he's calling you home. So today, if you've never met Jesus and you want to meet him for the first time, on the count of three, when I bang my hand on the pulpit, raise your hand. And for some of you, you served God at one time, but then you walked away from the Lord, and you did the world's thing. You did the ways of your own self. You walked away from God. And you need to get right with God. And you want to make sure that you're right before God. Then on the count of three, you'll raise your hand as well. I'm here to tell you there is no other God but the name of Jesus. There is no other God. Not Muhammad, not Buddha, not any of them. They are false gods. There is only one true God, and his name is Jesus. And he says that when you worship those other things, deny them, walk away from them, and come to me. And maybe you've been dabbling into some dark arts, witchcraft, things that are evil. You may not even know they're evil because the world is talking about it like it's great. Crystals and chakra and all those things. But I'm here to tell you those are demonic practices. And you need to repent and turn from your wicked ways. And you need God to cleanse you and to come into your heart and be the Lord and Savior of your life. So today, get ready on the count of three. If you've never met Jesus and you want to know him today for the first time, and if you've been running from God or if you need to get right in your life, get ready on the count of three. One, two, three. Raise your hands right now and keep them up so I can see them. I see that hand. Beautiful. Anybody else? No shame. No shame. Anyone else? You just wave at me. I see one beautiful hand. Anyone else? Okay, this is what we're going to do. We're going to pray with that special person right now. So everybody bow your head and close your eyes. And we're going to pray and we're going to ask Jesus to come into your heart. Because you don't get saved by just raising your hand. You have to get saved by repenting, turning from your sin, and then inviting Jesus to come and be your Lord and Savior. If somebody else in this room was like, oh, I was too nervous to raise my hand, just go ahead and pray with us right now, okay? Just repeat after me, everyone. Dear Father God, I come to you and I ask that you forgive me of my sins, that you would heal my heart. And I invite you to come into my life to be my Lord and Savior. Jesus, I believe you died on that cross and you rose again just for me. So thank you for loving me. Holy Spirit, I invite you to come, fill me, teach me your ways, and show me your word. Today is the day that I serve God for the rest of my days. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Let's give him a hand. Awesome.
Thank you for listening to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. If this message spoke to you, please share it with us. We'd love to hear from you. You can find more information at www.rockchurch.com.